Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. This is, of course, Rabbi John, and this is another broadcast, and I am excited about this broadcast because we have just finished our Sukkot. Our Sukkot, yes, and excited to get back into sharing. And there's another great question that I just found out about that we are going to be introducing. So I want to again to welcome you to the Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. And for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. Okay, I am, of course, for most of you that know me, I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi. And our quest here is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. These Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father, as well as our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. Now, at this time, I also have the distinct pleasure to introduce the other half of our co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi, for the introduction. I just want to say that I'm so glad to be a co-host of this show with you, Rabbi. As my family, Rabbi, it is a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of Yah. And this is our 32nd show. Today we will have a new question, as you stated, and that question is, how should we properly prepare ourselves to come into our Father's presence so that His glory would be manifested, that we can have true intimacy with the Father on a daily basis? And so, of course, I'm glad and excited about the show, and I will hand it back over to you, Rabbi. Thank you for the introduction.
All right, fantastic. So I'm going to go ahead, before we jump right into this question, which I'm excited about, I want to go ahead and pray and allow the Ruach of the Holy Spirit to come in and just really become the teacher in this situation here and in this time period that we have. So, Father, right now, thank you. First of all, thank you for Sukkot. Thank you for allowing me and allowing us to find joy. And you commanded us in Sukkot to be joyous because you knew that the adversary was going to try to attack us. You knew that he was going to try to come on every side. You knew that he was going to try to ambush us, if possible, from receiving and from releasing and accepting the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So we thank you for that. Father, I also thank you for forgiving me for any sin, iniquity, and transgression. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us the Holy Spirit so that it can help us and strengthen us so that we can have the power, not our own strength or our own power, but your power and your strength to forgive those who have sinned against us, who have caused iniquity and transgression against us. Father, we release that Holy Spirit right now to begin to minister through us to them and to glorify you in Yahushua's name. Amen and amen. Okay, so this question, if you can repeat that question one more time, Evangelist Tanita, and then we will get into laying a foundation around that question.
Okay, here again. The question is, how should we properly prepare ourselves to come into our Father's presence so that His glory would be manifested and that we can have true intimacy with the Father on a daily basis?
Amen. All right. One of the words that jumped out at me with this particular question that really got me excited was the word properly. Okay? Was the word properly. The word properly, we know from a definition, is a descriptive word that explains exactly how in which it should be done. In other words, the right way of doing it. And when we start looking at the right way of doing it, we have to always go back to the Father. Amen. It's the Father's perspective. We've got to find out what is His perspective. Because once we find His perspective pertaining to this, then we will always know that we will be able to check the block and that says we did it properly. Amen. So we should never, ever allow ourselves to get caught up in self and our perception and our views or any other person's views other than the Father's pertaining to the subject. Now, we're talking about relationship. We're talking about intimacy. You've got to talk about relationship. And when you're talking about relationship and intimacy and the father stepping into that relationship, one of the first things that comes to me is the fact that we on earth have to get back to the type of relationship that Adam and Eve had before the fall. And that's the type of relationship that we need to be focusing on going back to. And if Evangelist Tanita, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures to read, but one that just leaps out of my spirit right now is Genesis chapter 3, verse 8.
Okay.
Because in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, even though it's a very sad scripture from a state of fallen man, okay, it's a very powerful, intimate scripture. It's an it shows an intimacy of relationship that both Adam and Eve had on a daily basis. And I believe the question is talking about daily. So this really will set the foundation for what we lost through the fall that the Father is desiring for us to have. Okay? If you can go ahead and read that, if you haven't already.
Okay, yes. And I have the New King James Version, and it reads, Genesis 3, verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
So, and go ahead and read verse 9 as well.
Okay. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?"
Okay. That is probably one of the most saddest passages of Scripture in the whole Bible, because that set the tone for the rest of the Bible to play itself out in a reconciliation mode, because the rest of the Bible is literally establishing a relationship that was broken, trying to reestablish a relationship that was broken at this particular point. That's what all of the rest of the Bible refers to. But getting back to the question, Adam and Eve heard the Father. And although there's a lot of negativity in these two passages, verse 8 and verse 9, what we want to extract from that before we go further is the positive reference of what they had.
Yeah.
Let's just look at what they had, because in order for us to get to that proper relationship, we've got to go back and revisit what they had. So that when the Lord begins to move in the manner in which he wants to move to reconcile us to that, we'll know when we are there.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Because in knowing that you're there, that's half the battle. And the reason why I say it's half the battle is because the adversary cannot bewitch you into thinking that you don't have something that you already have. Now, I'm going to touch on that right now, and then we're going to go, we'll regress. But I want to touch on that because one of the biggest problems that faced Adam and Eve was that Eve was given erroneous information, and she, secondly, did not know that what the adversary was trying to beguile her with was something that she already had. It was something that she already had, if that makes sense.
Yes.
The devil was trying to make her be as or like gods, or like God himself. She was already the offspring of God, and everything that he had was for her and for Adam. The earth was created for them.
Amen.
It was a treasure. It was a blessing given to them. Adam, all of the animals, all of that was a blessing for and to him. And proof positive of this is that Adam was able to and was given the responsibility, okay, of, you know, being able to name all of the animals.
That's right.
That is authority. That's dominion. He had dominion over them. Okay? So they already had the proper relationship and intimacy. God himself looked forward. This is important. God himself looked forward to having intimate relationship with Adam and Eve every day. He, the creator of everything, looked forward to having relationship with his offspring. He had created a family. So, in getting this and understanding this, what this should say to us is that this intimacy pertaining to this question and family is of the utmost importance in relationship building with the Father. It's more important than anything else because everything else was created around that intimacy, around that relationship. Everything. Amen?
Yes.
So now we're going to skip forward a little bit.
Okay.
And we're going to go to an incident situation where this intimacy, similar to Adam and Eve, was regained by Moses and the children of Israel. Now, we know that Enoch, for 1 year had that kind of intimacy, so much so that God took him. God said, no, I want you for myself. Okay? But we want to look, and that's the best case scenario, but the worst case scenario would be the children of Israel trying to find that and trying to establish that relationship. Okay? Trying to reestablish that relationship. So one of the areas that we want to go is Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8 and 9. And in this particular passage, Moses, either by translation or just seeing the vision of, saw in heaven the tabernacle. Saw in heaven the tabernacle. Okay? And in this particular verse, we're going to connect this particular verse. We're going to connect that verse. Okay? We're going to connect that verse with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 16. And the reason why we want to do that is because the same tabernacle and the furnishings and all of that that Moses was instructed to build as well as create is referenced in the New Testament as you and I. Which goes back to that relationship of Adam and Eve. He still wants it. He misses it. He yearns for it. Even the earth, there's a scripture, and we'll go to this one as well, but there's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, you know, verses 24 on up to 26, that talks about the earth having pains, because they yearn, it yearns for that self-same relationship. Because it in itself understood before the fall, it understood and enjoyed all of the pleasures of that self-same relationship that Adam and Eve had with Yah, with God. The animals enjoyed it because at that time they were not eating each other or afraid of each other.
That's right. That's right.
So there was so much harmony, so much peace because of that relationship. So before I get ahead of myself, we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 25. We're going to read Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. We're going to connect that to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16.
Yes.
And then, if we have more time, we're going to jump back into what I had shared just a couple of seconds ago, pertaining to Romans chapter 8, verse, started by verse 24 and go into to verse 26.
Yeah, okay.
And see how it all ties together. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So the first
starting with Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and 9.
8.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, okay. All right, so let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Verse 9, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And do you want me to go over to 1 Corinthians? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So 1 Corinthians 3.
And while you're going there, I want us to focus on, and most of you probably know this, but we still need to build this foundation for those that just may not know it or may not recall. All right, how important it is to see that this tabernacle was just a temporal illustration, if you will, of what he was trying to get the children of Israel to understand about themselves. So it was a tutorial. It was a practice. Okay? It lasted a long time, and it was not because of God. It lasted a long time because of us. But it was a practice. It was a tutorial to get us into a body memory. You know, it's like when you practice a sport, and you continue to practice fielding balls, let's say if you're a shortstop, and you continue to do it until it becomes not something that you think about, it's something that your body just automatically does. It automatically, you know, begins to move towards the ball, you know, to feel that ball. Your hands automatically begin to go down in a manner in which it should, so that you can scoop the ball up and then get ready to throw it to first or second or wherever you're supposed to throw it to. All right, that is what was happening, and that's what happens in the feast. The feast are those holy convocations. Those are those exercises, if you will. Okay? Mm-hmm. To get us prepared and ready so that no matter what the storms of life throw at you, you just automatically do the things that God, that are pleasing to God, for God, with God.
Yeah.
Okay? So anyway, go ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. So we can tie in that to Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9 with Moses, okay, and the tabernacle or the temple of God.
Yeah. Verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's verse 16.
Come on now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what we're realizing is this, is if we are the temple of God, which we always were, but now it's emphatically proven that we are, okay, and this is New Testament, of course. All right, if we are the temple of God, then he's saying you need to be aware, especially to the Corinthians, you need to be aware of who you are. Don't be the way Eve was when she was beguiled, because she was naive, you know, no pun intended there, of what and who she was. Therefore, it was easy for her and Adam, because he was there with her, to eat of the fruit, because they had no idea of who they were. He was beguiling them, he being Satan, to be something that they already were, to receive something that they already possessed.
Amen.
So it's imperative that we see, that we understand. That's why we had to go back to Adam and Eve and go back to what they had, so that we can understand what belongs to us, not what we're going to receive that we've never received before. There's a difference if you are purchasing something that's brand new that you've never had versus purchasing something that you had that was taken from you. There should be a different resolve within the individual. You know, a firm resolve to make sure you get back what belongs to you, as opposed to the exuberant thankfulness for receiving something that you never had. This is not, you know, this is not one of those types of things where you're receiving a gift that you never had before, and you're just elated and overjoyed by it and enamored with and overcome with joy because of that. This is a, hey, that belonged to me already. And it's not an arrogance. Yeah. It's just a righteous indignation. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
You.
So what we want to build within the listener is the fact that this belonged to you because it is a part of the inheritant gift that was richly received and enjoyed by Adam and Eve.
Amen.
Your greatest, as far as you want to go back, grandparents. No matter what your nationality is, they were everyone's grandparents. Okay?
Amen.
And because of that, they had that, and they were the ones that were supposed to pass that on to you, to me,
yeah.
to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's imperative mm-hmm. that we see that we understand that, and that we gravitate to that with a fervent desire for righteousness to be made right, to make things right that wasn't made right. So in answering this question and getting the foundation started, we have to understand that we have to go with the proper resolve. We can't just go with joy and exuberance and just, you know, overwhelming the euphoric feeling that you feel when you've won something or been given something spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, it's still spectacular, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it was yours already. It belonged to you before. It's a part of your inheritance that you never received. So the righteous indignation is right. It's right to have righteous indignation when you want to have intimacy with your Papa, when you want to have intimacy with Yeshua, when you want to have the intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It is the right and proper way that it should be done. And it belongs to you.
Amen.
So the first thing that we need to, and I want to make sure before we close that, and before we read that latter part of that particular scripture, because we should have time for that, I want to make sure that we approach this with the right attitude. It's imperative that we approach this with the right attitude. And the attitude is, it belongs to you. It has been in your family for a very, very long time. If you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, you can say that this intimacy with the Father, this relationship, we're not even talking about the earth and the fullness thereof in it, which also belongs to you. We're just talking about the most important thing, which is the intimacy and relationship with the Father. That belongs to you. It is a part of your inheritance. It was stolen from you.
Amen.
So we want to make sure that that resonates right now. Father, help us to have that resonate within us. Let it strike, not a tone, let it strike the tone that we should take going forward in receiving and expecting, not accepting. Yes, we are going to accept it, but to expect it because it belongs to us. So we thank you for that, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua.
Thank you.
Amen and amen. All right, so if you can get for us, Evangelist, if you can get for us Romans chapter 8.
Yes.
Okay, and we'll start off at verse 24. It should be right in that area. And what we're looking for, just so you know, is we're looking for where the earth is going through travail because it is in anticipation of the relationship of the sons of men and the sons of God with God himself. That intimacy, it wants, it's aware, it has a consciousness, if you will. I know it's hard for some to grasp, but it has a consciousness, and it remembers, it has a mind to remember. It's even explained in this particular passage. Go ahead.
Amen. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it to for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And they know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That was verse 28.
And I apologize we didn't go, back far enough. Okay, let's go back to, still the same chapter. Let's go back to verse 22.
Okay. Verse 22. Okay. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Verse 24.
Okay.
For we were. Okay.
All right. Well, you don't have to read verse 24 because you read that already. But let's pull. We're going to pull together real quick. Pull together verse 22 and 23. So in 22, and sorry, I didn't go back far enough. 22 deals with the whole creation. So that means everything that he created is aware and are also groaning within themselves, waiting in anticipation for our intimacy with the Father. With the plurality of Yah, every single thing that was created by him. And it only makes sense because they were created to be a blessing to him and to us. That's important for us to see and understand. They were created to be a blessing to him and to us. So they want to fulfill their call, their purpose. They're wanting to fulfill all of that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then the only way they can fulfill it is for us to fulfill the reconciliation and restoration and intimacy with him. Then everything else can come in line in the manner in which it should and ought to be.
Amen.
So this question is a tremendously awesome question because this is the essence of what we are supposed to be reconciled back to.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So with
Amen.
That, what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and begin the transition to a close, but I want to make sure I'd like to pass it back to you now, Evangelist Tanita, to just kind of give a quick overview and then also give, for those who may be first-time listeners, give information for them to know how to find us and to get more information from us. All right? Go ahead.
Amen. Yes. So, and thank you once again, Rabbi. And, for me, it has really opened me up to know, I've heard it, but to really know that the righteous indignation is that we should desire to have that intimacy with the Father, which is what we were supposed to have originally. That was what was stolen. But not only are we to desire it with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but even the earth is desiring us to do it. Creation, so that everything would be in order. And I love the way
Amen.
You pointed out the fact that it was already there. We're trying to get back to where Adam and Eve were from the beginning. And what I love about it is that we can. Why? Because Yahushua, Jesus, died on the cross so that not only could we be restored to the Father, but then we
Come
could become
now.
His bridegroom to know him as Lord. And then the Ruach HaKodesh to help us get back to the state
That's
with
right.
all all that Moses went through, as well as the children of Israel, so that we could be those that will walk like Adam and Eve did from the beginning. And so it blessed me to know that the earth is even rooting us on. Why? Because the earth and creation want to align themselves along with us in the proper order. So that has blessed me.
Amen.
And I hope that everyone else has been blessed by that too. And so in conclusion, thank you again for the show. So that you all know, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. And you can email your questions to tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is Bethesham Ministries. And we have two websites that you can reach out or contact us at. And the first one is www.bethesham.org. And it's BETHHASHEM.org. And we have a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. If you would like to attend services, you could email us at Bethesham@yahoo.org. That is BETHHASHEM@yahoo.com. Also, for those of you who may know or have seen, if you visit the website, we do have a college where you can get more of a Hebraic understanding of who you are and even reaching that place of intimacy as what Rabbi was addressing. But if you desire, you could email us at office@bethesham.org. And thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi Dunn.
Amen. Well, Father, right now we thank you for the show. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that your spirit is going forth and touching and just helping individuals emotionally to deal with emotional trauma in their lives. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that Holy Spirit. We submit that to you. We praise and glorify you right now as we gain momentum and we gain steam in the glory as we go into the inner end times for some. Father, we see it as the beginning times for others.
Thank you.
Praise you for that. We glorify you. And we thank you for everything that you've shared here in Yahushua's name. Until next time, shalom, shalom.